time for us to get a little basketball talk in. To do that, we turn to John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Outstanding. Is every Celtic fan a Cavaliers fan just for tonight?
I think for one night only, it's a safe bet. Would be a little bit of delicious kind of basketball gods at play if all of this consternation about playing the Nets in the first round were to go away with the Cavaliers winning the play-in game tonight.
I absolutely love the fact that they went out there and stomped the Grizzlies on Sunday and said, hey, we've got to play the Nets at some point. Might as well play them in the first round. Even if they don't believe that, I'm glad they did it.
You know, look, they're talking a big game. They're saying, you know, Peyton Pritchard came out after the game and was like, hey, we're not dunking anybody. Yemi Udoka was pretty strong. Like, the attitude that they're carrying is pretty strong, pretty definitive. I mean, I love it. I just love when teams just say, hey, look, you know what? We're going to win, and whoever you want to put in front of us, we'll play that person, that team too, and that's fine. But, yeah, playing the Nets now makes the most sense because they're trying to reintegrate Steph Curry. They're trying to reintegrate Dragic. They're trying to potentially integrate Ben Simmons. If they're going to try all that in the first round, then good. This is the time to do it when they're in a little bit of disarray and the chemistry is a little bit off. And they've been playing a ton of minutes. Durant and Kyrie have been playing 40-plus minutes for all of these games, and they've been doing it to just barely beat some so-so teams. So I think now is, even if you're worried about the Nets, now is the time to play them.
So what does Cleveland have to do against them tonight to have a shot?
I mean, a few guys have to really step up and play a little bit out of their minds. You're looking at Darius Garland. He's got to really attack the rim. Evan Mobley has to be a defensive menace, a shot blocker. And if he gets some time on Kevin Durant, just has to use his length and hopefully bother Durant enough so he's not shooting. Yeah, if Durant's going to score 40 or 50 to beat you, you got to make sure that he's doing it on a lot of shots and not doing it efficiently. And then, you know, you need other guys. You need some of those guys. Everybody just needs to have their best game of their life, basically, right now. But also, hey, look, Brooklyn is not great defensively.
Right.
Just keep attacking their weaknesses. Keep attacking. Keep getting to the rim. Keep pushing and trying to attack and move the ball and run your pick and rolls and just put that pressure on Brooklyn and see if you can't get some foul trouble. See if you can't get into the bonus a little bit early and score some points that way. You know, there are ways to score against the team. And it doesn't just have to be, hey, they've got a bad defense, we're going to score on you. It's they have a bad defense and we're going to draw fouls and we're going to put pressure on them to make a play and have them make mistakes. And maybe that leads to some turnovers on the other end because they're thinking about their mistakes. So, but there's no doubt that, you know, you need big nights. You need Kevin Love to have a 30-point night off the bench. You need him banging threes and stretching that defense. You need Isaac Okoro to step up and be a defensive menace. There are a lot of things that need to go right.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, if Brooklyn does win, as most people expect, the Celtics matchup is an interesting one. As you mentioned, a very good Celtic defense, even without Robert Williams, against a team that doesn't seem to play much defense at all. Who do you see as the key for the Celtics in a series with Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, you got to start at the top, right? You got to start with Jason Tatum because he's going to be the center of everything that happens. They're going to sell out to try and take the ball out of his hands, and so you need the Tatum that's willing to draw those double teams and put, you know, pass the ball and then cut and then, you know, try to get the ball back, but he needs to be moving the ball and starting that offense like he has been when the Celtics have been playing at their best. It's no ISO, no, you know, don't revert back to bad habits. Go out there and move the ball. And then from there, it's a collective effort, and you're going to need, like, Al Horford is going to have to be huge because they're going to try to get to the rim. And you're going to need some rim protection, and so he's going to be a big deal. And we can even say that Daniel Tice is going to be big, depending on how long it takes for Robert Williams to get back. If he can be serviceable and they don't attack him mercilessly with switches and, you know, put Kevin Durant and on him and have Durant just score over the top of him all the time. You know, if he can go out there and play well and not be a liability, then they can minimize the loss of Robert Williams. But it all starts with Jason Tatum.
They don't have a whole lot of depth on that Brooklyn team. If it becomes a longer series, do the Celtics have an edge with their bench?
Yeah, look, the longer it goes, I think the more it favors Boston because, first of all, the Nets have been playing Durant and Kyrie 40 minutes in each of these games. And, you know, that at some point you play them that long, that's going to lead to some breakdown somewhere. So if it does continue on past, you know, 5-6 games, then I still think that the Celtics have the advantage. I think the Celtics have the advantage no matter what. But to your point, like the bench, if Derek White comes in and continues to move the ball, his ball movement is going to be huge. Grant Williams, if he can knock down a few more shots like he has been over the course of the season, then that changes the game. And we saw that towards the end of the season there. If the Celtics bench is knocking down three-pointers, then they're going to put up 150 points. Even for Brooklyn, that's going to be tough to outscore.
Ime Udoka, first season after a rough start, 51 victories. Does he need a first-round playoff series for this to be considered a successful year?
Well, I mean, I maybe. That's so subjective. I think this has been a hugely successful year for him. If something goes wrong and Brooklyn is amazing and they beat the Celtics, if the Celtics play well and lose, then so be it. Right, like that's my whole thing. It's never really about necessarily did you win or did you lose. If the Celtics played well, if the Celtics played the right way, and Brooklyn just got 50 points from Durant and 40 points from Kyrie, and there was nothing you could do about it, then that's how it goes sometimes. But I think if the Celtics play the right way, they will win this series. So I think people are so focused on Brooklyn on the outside that they forget how good the Celtics have been. Mm. The Celtics play the defense that they've been known to play. Even without Robert Williams, their defense has been pretty good. They can play that defense and play that offense with the ball movement and cutting and all of that. Like, if they can do that, then we're not worried about them winning or losing the series. So I think for Ime, he's had his success as a coach, and now, yeah, there's some kind of evaluation about him as a playoff coach. We'll start to see some of that, and if the Celtics go out in a hurry here, then there will be some people writing about, ooh, Ime, good regular season coach. Let's see, you know, maybe not a great postseason coach or something like that. But I think it's too early to start going down that road.
What does Jason Tatum have to do to be named Player of the Month?
Well, I think if they actually had a normal month and they just did March, then he probably would have won it. It's just that I think he kind of tailed off a little bit. The Celtics are going into a little bit of a resting mode, and the Milwaukee Bucks were kind of ramping up. They were in ramp-up mode because they had been coasting for a lot of the season. So it just so happened that the couple of weeks in April, Giannis went crazy. Tatum kind of tailed off. I think in March he was the best player. You add the 2 weeks in April, or the week and a half in April, and that kind of just changed the numbers. And, hey, that's something to motivate him. As a lot of people have been saying on Twitter, they're not too upset about it. If Tatum looks at it and says, oh, okay, and I'll show you, and kind of like puts on a show in a first round series, then it might be worth it.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the game tonight, John, and we'll see who we're talking about next week at this time. Thanks as always for being with us, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
All right. I'll talk to you then.
Thank you, John. John Corrales on the Celtics here on Downtown.